Just a few days ago, actually not too long ago, a 16-year-old boy suffocated to death when he became trapped under a third-row seat. He was leaning over the seat trying to grab something, and the mechanism released, and he got folded over and latched under the seat. He was able to dial 911, and he did describe the car and where it was located. And police were dispatched to look for him. And he called a second time, and he even told them, "This is not a prank. I am dying in here." Hours later, he was found dead by his father. We'll never know all the details of the many things that went wrong. And I don't know this for sure, but I suspect a factor in the failure to save this young man was the cry wolf syndrome. You know, it's like the speed bump ahead sign. There's a speed bump coming and I slow down and there's no speed bump. There's a speed bump coming and I slow down and there's no speed bump. There's a speed bump coming and I slow down and there's no speed bump. There's a speed bump coming, I stay going fast and wham, there's a speed bump there. So often calls for help or warnings of danger are taken lightly or even dismissed altogether without diligent investigation or consideration. The boy said, "I need help." And perhaps the thought was, "Yes, we've heard this before." Tragically, this time it was real and the 16-year-old boy died. We are in a passage today in which Jesus calls out warning to us. Jesus says, warning. Jesus says, danger. There is danger. There is a wolf, and there really is a hell, and you may be deceived and headed there. My prayer is for all of us to avoid the tragedy of not heeding the warning of God. Let's pray together. Father, I pray for each of us, each individual here, including me, to apply this warning and see the danger. Father, grace us, I pray, to determine the true condition of our hearts. Father, may your Holy Spirit convict and awaken the souls of those who are on the wide, easy path leading to destruction, and they don't know it. Have mercy upon us, dear God, and open our eyes through your word, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, may we see. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Open your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7. We'll be in verses 15 through 23 today. If you don't have a Bible along, there's a little black pew Bibles out there, and it is on page 812 in those Bibles. Matthew 7. We are almost to the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Earlier this month, in verses 12 and 13, we looked at the two gates and the two ways. One is the narrow gate and the hard way, which leads to life, and few walk on that one. Wide is the gate, and easy is the path that leads to destruction. And Jesus tells us many have entered that way. And we boiled it down and we said, Jesus is simply saying, remember what I am teaching you in the Sermon on the Mount. I've gone through all of these things. Now walk in them. Live them. Be the person that is the Sermon on the Mount. Do the things that I have called you to do in the Sermon on the Mount. And it will be hard. It will be hard, but it is the only way to life, Jesus teaches us. So we must respond. We must do something about it. We must pursue after what Jesus has been teaching. And Jesus says, enter the narrow gate. We must give effort because the way is hard. We must commit to this way. It must be our priority. Following Jesus must be our focus and our life. The way is hard. It is hard. And by God's grace and because He is good, God has given us guides to walk this hard calling. He has given us the Holy Spirit in us to empower us. He has given us scripture to know what is true. And He has given us pastors and shepherds to encourage and even rebuke us to help us live the message of the Sermon on the Mount. He has also given us each other to do the same. So now as Jesus gives the command to enter the narrow gate, we who hear Him, we who have the Holy Spirit indwelling us, do it. We do it. We press on with help and we rely on that help. We need help. We are still sinners, battling every day to live this hard life. Jesus says, enter the narrow gate and walk the hard way which leads to life. But now, as we'll see today, Jesus commands us to beware. To beware. Beware who you listen to. Beware who you seek help from. Because on that day, the day when we will all be judged, you will either hear, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master, or you will hear, depart from me. I never knew you. Let's read our passage, and we'll start back in verse 12, actually. Our passage for today will be verses 15 and through 23. This is the very word of God. May we all hear and heed the warning of Jesus. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. On that day, on Judgment Day, many people will have been deceived and will be thrown into the lake of fire. This is one of the most sobering passages in Scripture. The many that Jesus is talking about here are the people who call themselves Christians. They call themselves Christians. They were born in a Christian home. They may have walked an aisle at an altar call. They have gone on missions. They have gone to Christian colleges. And they've done it all in the name of Jesus. And Jesus declares to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. So what happened? What happened here? They were on the easy path, and it led to destruction because they believed a false gospel by false prophets. They were deceived by their own selves, and they were deceived by others. This is what Jesus is warning us about. Enter the narrow gate, and be sure that you are on the path that leads to life. That is why he commands us to beware of false prophets. So let's look at this by breaking this into two sections. The first section we'll call beware. Beware. Beware of false prophets. And the second section then we'll look at is on that last day. On that day. Jesus says, enter the narrow gate. In essence, he is commanding us to live the Sermon on the Mount, and it will be hard. And then he tells us, beware. Enter the gate, but beware. Walk the hard path, but beware. And then he finishes by describing what will happen on that last day. So then, beware. Beware of false prophets. We'll look at two things with the false prophets. That first, they are dressed to kill. False prophets are dressed to kill. Second, we're going to test the fruit. We'll test the fruit. So first, they are dressed to kill. Look at it in verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. False prophets. Those teaching and proclaiming the oracles of God, those teaching and preaching the gospel of God falsely. Falsely. They are proclaiming the false gospel. It is untrue. It is based on lies. And what makes them so dangerous is the way they are dressed. Look at the middle of verse 15. Who come to you in sheep's clothing. They are deceptively dressed, right? They come in sheep's clothing. Deception is their power. On the outside, they look and play the part of a godly man. On the surface of what they say, it sounds like the gospel. He looks like us. He acts like us. He teaches and preaches like us. His gospel sounds good. It scratches itching ears. That is why false prophet is dressed in deception is so dangerous, is because they are hard to spot. False prophets are dressed to kill because they are deceptively dressed. And Jesus reveals their true nature. Look at it at the end of verse 15. But inwardly are ravenous wolves. Outwardly dressed one way, but inwardly they are another way. Listen now and be conscious of this reality. Everything, and I mean everything that Jesus has taught us in the Sermon on the Mount is internal. If you want to check your heart, then figure this out. Why am I doing this? What is the motive behind the things that I do? The false prophet, he put on clothes. He's kind and gentle, he preaches the word, and he puts on love. But his heart is not loving. In fact, on the inside, he is on the hunt for prey. He is out for glory of self, not the glory of God. He feeds on the attention he gets. He feeds on the popularity. He feeds on the glory, and he eats it up. The false prophet feeds on the souls of men and women, and the false prophet's appetite is unquenchable. It is ravenous. The false prophet is dressed to kill. And Jesus warns you and me to be aware. If the false prophet is dressed in deception, then how can we know who they are? How can we know? Look at verses 17 and 18 and notice how Jesus describes the trees. He describes the trees as healthy or diseased. Healthy or diseased. Jesus does not describe them as rotten and decaying. No. because they look alike on the outside. But on the inside, there is something different. A diseased tree or a corrupt tree can look exactly like a healthy tree. But because of what is going on inside the tree, what comes out cannot be good. How do we discover or uncover the deception of the false prophet? How do we undress the one who is dressed to kill? We test the fruit. We test the fruit. Jesus emphasizes this by saying it two times in verses 16 and 20. Let's look at verse 16 together and we'll test the fruit. Verse 16, you will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Something cannot produce something it is not. A false prophet is not a Christian in the true definition. Therefore, he cannot bear good, godly, glorifying fruit. It is not possible. I want you all, and me included, to look in a mirror as we consider this fruit. Clearly, Jesus is in a context of talking about false prophets. But this applies to every single person that claims to be a Christian. Fruit bearing is our calling, brothers and sisters. Keep your finger here and turn with me to Gospel of John, chapter 15. Fruit bearing is our calling, brothers and sisters. We must be bearing fruit. If we enter the narrow gate and on a hard way, destined for life, then we will be bearing fruit. If we are on the wide gate and the easy way to destruction, then we won't and cannot bear fruit. We cannot produce what we are not. John 15, verses 5 and 6. I encourage you to go back and read this entire passage. But we're going to look at 5 and 6. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. Something cannot produce what it is not. A false prophet is not a Christian. He does not abide in Christ. Therefore, he cannot bear good fruit. It is not possible. To determine a false prophet is not to see a person who isn't nice and kind and moral on the outside. Rather, it is to see the heart which is revealed in their teaching and their conduct and their life. These actions reveal motive. What is driving them? Is their entire life based on being a Christian? And here is where we need to use caution a bit, brothers and sisters. We need to be careful how we judge. We need to be careful how we judge. We are not looking for perfection by any means. So there is the negative test. There just seems to be something off. They talk the talk, yet seem to walk the wide, easy way. They have a worldliness about them that seems to run deep. This worldliness runs deep, heart deep. And we can look at it positively too. Do we see the Sermon on the Mount in them? Do they have a spirit that mourns? Are they humble? Are they meek? Do they hunger and thirst after righteousness? A diseased tree cannot bear this kind of fruit. And a man with God in him will bear this fruit. He will become a peacemaker. And he will forgive other people as he has been forgiven. So we ask, are the works of the flesh evident? sexual morality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these? Or is the fruit of the Spirit evident? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Those are all from Galatians 5. All of these qualities should be in him and increasing, as they should be in all of us who claim to be born-again believers in Christ. They come from the inside out. Jesus says, you will recognize them by their fruit. Good fruit that comes from the inside out, a heart with the Spirit of Christ abiding in it. Good fruit comes from the heart. If a heart is dead in its trespasses and sin, it cannot bear this fruit. That is why Jesus gives us the healthy and diseased tree example. Look at it with me, starting in verse 17 in our passage in Matthew. Verse 17, so every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the lake of fire. Thrown into the fire. Remember that when we look at on that day. But for testing the fruit, I love the way Jesus makes this easy. Yes, Jesus makes this easy the way he gives this picture to us, right? We don't have to dig really deep into this. A healthy tree, good fruit. A diseased tree, bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a diseased tree cannot bear good fruit. Bad tree, bad fruit only. Good tree, good fruit only. What's on the inside will come out. We need to test the fruit. Okay, let's see if we can make this useful. Jesus says, enter the narrow gate, and the way is hard, but it leads to life. Then he says, beware of false prophets. You will recognize them by their fruit. So to put this into the context and the flow of what Jesus is saying, does the person preach and promote and live the wide gate in the easy way? Or does the prophet preach and promote and live the narrow gate and the hard way? Does person speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Or do they soften truth and in fact eliminate some? And let's even restate that. Is the person pointing you to the narrow gate and the hard way of life by preaching the gospel, the whole gospel, and nothing but the gospel? Remember, the false prophet that Jesus is warning us about is coming in deceptive clothing. They will sound a lot like a believer. So we need to not only listen to what they are saying, we need to be aware of what they are not saying. Here's a couple examples. First, on becoming a Christian, do they only focus on the love of Jesus and the mercy and grace of God? God loves you. Jesus died for you. Do you hear the rest? Do you hear them focus on holiness and righteousness and justice and the wrath of God? Is the fear of God always reduced to awe and reverence and not ever preached as fall down on your face as dead fear? Do you hear the word repentance? Probably not, because you probably didn't ever hear the word sin. And if you do hear the word sin mentioned, it's probably downplayed. Easy salvation is a dangerous proposition. And it is very deceptive. Jesus says you must be born again. Do they tell you this? Do they explain what this is? Do they explain how you become born again? Okay, next, on our walk then. What about our walk? Jesus says one way is easy and it leads to destruction, and one way is hard and it leads to life. We need to hear the gospel, the whole gospel, and nothing but the gospel. A false prophet may mention the great commandment to love our Lord, our God, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourself. This sounds really good. But do they press your life into living this? They mention it. But do they press on us to live it? Is what they are teaching and preaching constantly making you feel good? Or does God's word convict you at times and challenge you? Does it at times make you uneasy as it reveals sin that you haven't defeated yet or dealt with yet? Test the fruit. Is the person pointing and guiding you along the narrow gate and the hard way to life? Are they preaching the gospel, the whole gospel, and nothing but the gospel? The gospel offends. The gospel offends. The gospel does not promise an easy life. In fact, it demands just the opposite from you. The gospel is about how to enter the narrow gate and walk the hard way of life. It's about who we are as we walk this path. It's about suffering and trials we face and how they are good for us. The gospel is about equipping us to persevere along the path all the way to the end. The gospel is about the hope we have in Christ to get to the day. The gospel is about all of this and so much more. It is about living the Sermon on the Mount and ultimately about giving glory to God. Amen. And brothers and sisters, glorifying God is not easy. Okay, we looked at the warning of Jesus to beware. Now let's look at on that day. Look at verse 22. On that day, the day of judgment. Jesus points out two groups of people on that day. One group represents the narrow gate, hard path to life people. The other group represents the wide, easy way to destruction. Both groups have made it all the way to the end. Both groups are religious people. And this is the reality that should make us sit up in our seats. Both groups claim the name of Jesus. Nobody else is mentioned in this passage. This passage and the outcome revealed covers everyone who has ever walked the face of this planet proclaiming the name of Jesus as Lord. They are the everyone in verse 21. Remove the not. Remove the not. They are the everyone. Both groups include the everyone. So everyone says, Lord, Lord, to Jesus. And here is where we split up the group. One group is the not group, the not everyone who says, Lord, Lord. The other group is what's left over, and they are not the nots. Okay, so now that I've confused you, here are the two groups. The first group are true believers in Christ, and they have entered the narrow gate, and they have made it all the way through the hard life to this point, and they cry out, Lord, Lord, and will enter the kingdom. Why? Verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Not all of them, but these ones will. The one who does the will of the Father who is in heaven. True believers are the ones that do the will of God. They are the ones who live the Sermon on the Mount. They are the ones that entered the narrow gate. They persevered through hardship all the way to the end, and they have life with God and will be in his kingdom forever with him. So then we have the not everyone. The religious who were not true believers, they cried out, "Lord, Lord." They preached in his name. They cast out demons in his name. They did mighty works in the name of Jesus. But they entered the wide gate and they walked the easy way. So God declares to them in verse 23, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." And this truth hits them like a ton of eternal bricks. Deceived no more. They made it all the way to that day, and destruction is their reality. Most of you know that recently, Renee, Jenny, and I drove down to Louisville for T4G. And you all probably know about the tollway in Illinois. Well, they've come up with this amazing way to keep traffic moving. It's called an iPass. You just put it in your window or on your dash, and you can drive right through. 55, 65, 75, 85 miles an hour. Go right through. Well, the iPass belonged to Robin and Jenny, and I went home by myself. So the iPass stayed with Jenny as she was going back with a different group. Well, on my way home, it was a different experience. You're driving down this tollway, and there's like five lanes of traffic just flying along, and oops, I got to pull over into this one lane, and I got to throw some money in the little at the lady. There's no cage anymore. It sure made the experience different. It took longer, and it took more effort. I think the false prophets treat Jesus like an eye pass. And unfortunately, I think many who call out, "Lord, Lord," treat Jesus the same way. Here's Jesus. Put him in your windshield and your way will be easy. All you have to do is give a little money now and again. Show up at church now and again. Help out once in a while when it's convenient. Oh, and I can blend in the world. It's easier if the world likes me. I don't want to cause any waves. Sinning isn't so bad. I have an eye pass. God loves me. I live in the age of grace. I don't have to mortify sin. This Jesus thing is really easy. I never knew you. Depart from me. We don't have an eye pass, but we have the blood of Christ. Jesus paid it all. And we are on a hard journey. And we are doing the will of God. And we are living the Sermon on the Mount. Brothers and sisters, living the Sermon on the Mount is where the love and grace of God are found and experienced. Denying self and taking up our crosses and loving sacrificially is a long, slow, hard process. But its end is life with Jesus forever. A wise, godly man once said, "If you follow God, you'll always know where you're." Jesus commands us to enter the narrow gate and the hard way. He then warns us to beware of false prophets. Enter and beware, because verse 23 is truth. "I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness." If you don't believe that you know God, you say, "I hear these things, I don't think I know God." If you go to a church and aren't hearing the gospel, the whole gospel, and nothing but the gospel, if you are hearing about his grace and his love, then you need to find someone willing to tell you how wretched you are in your sin in God's eyes. He can't stand sin. He despises sin, and God's wrath is already upon you. You are a worker of lawlessness and destined for eternal destruction. We all need to hear that truth. Fearing God is necessary. And some will ask, where's the grace, Fred? The grace is not here. When the words "depart from me, I never knew you" are spoken, it's too late. The grace is gone. The grace is back at the narrow gate that you didn't enter. The grace is along the hard way in life that you didn't enter. It's not here. It's too late. Hell is your destiny. Really, where is the grace? It's here right now. God is calling you now. Today is the day of salvation. If you are entering the wide gate and on the easy path leading to destruction, repent and ask for forgiveness. If there is no substance to your religion, if there's no desire within you to do God's will, and if God is revealing this to you, then I implore you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. Repent of your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved by God's amazing grace. The grace is today. If you are a believer here today and are in Christ, and by God's grace, He has opened your eyes and my eyes to the reality of being on the wide, easy path in our walks. That is, that we have not given our best to God. We have not given our best time, our best resources. We haven't given Him our best effort to obey. If forgiving others is hard, so we don't work at it. If loving the unlovable is hard, so we avoid them. If denying ourselves and suffering and following Jesus is something so unappealing that the effort to do so is waning. Brothers and sisters, if we are so comfortable in the easy, wide path and we want to stay there, then this warning is for us. If we are truly children of God, then this warning should and will awaken us. Repent and enter the narrow gate, and by grace through faith, follow Jesus on the hard way to life. Where's the grace? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Where's the grace? It's found living the Sermon on the Mount with Christ in us. At the end of the age, on that day, we who are in Christ will enter into the joy of God forever. Amen. Do not be so proud as to not heed this warning. To do so could be tragic. Let's pray together. So, Father, we come to you and we thank you that you have loved us so deeply to have given us Jesus. We also thank you that you have loved us so deeply as to have given us these warnings. Father, I pray that each person in this room, including myself, takes these words and applies them to ourselves, Father. What are we doing? Why are we doing it? Father, and if we can't answer, we are doing these things because we love you and we love each other, and that we will do whatever it takes to see other people come to know you. For doing things for any other reason, reveal that to us, Father, and help us then, empower us then, by grace, through faith, to walk with Jesus by denying ourselves and taking up our crosses and sacrificially loving. Father, I pray you do that in each of us. In Jesus' name.